Hey everybody, it's Connor. Thank you so much for joining us for another incredible episode of our podcast, Drama with Connor and Dylan McDowell. My twin brother Dylan and I are so excited that you found the show. I also never referred to him as my twin, so that was kind of odd. But anyway, the episode is about to start with everyone's crush, leading man, the stud of Broadway and beyond, Max Clayton, is finally on the podcast. And before we get into that chat, I gotta tell you, Drama is not just this Wednesday weekly show. We also have a bonus content platform called Drama Plus, where for $5 a month, you go to patreon.com/thedramapodcast and you become a member of Drama Plus. So you get extra episodes where Dylan and I talk about all things theater, pop culture, love, life. And you also get added to our Instagram close friends, which is juicy as hell. So y'all go to patreon.com/thedramapodcast and become a member of Drama Plus. And I hope you love this episode with Max Clayton and that everyone's having an amazing summer. And stay tuned because we have a really exciting announcement coming. So make sure you're subscribed everywhere, following us everywhere, and become a member of Drama Plus. All right, y'all. Thank you so much. On to the show.
Press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea
to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell.
Okay, Dylan, I'm on a new couch, and it's, you know, when you do something 100 times and all of a sudden something slightly different, mm-hmm. It's throwing me. I'm totally thrown. I'm slightly more elevated. Oh my God. The
you
creature
and I are
of habit.
So yes, we do not like change in the least, but I will say I like the neutral couch. It's a nice refreshing change up.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Dylan, I just saw you. I was in Cleveland for a bit, but we need to talk about the Olympics because by the time this episode comes out, they'll almost be over and it is my obsession. I get so into it every single time.
It is so fun. It's also like there's a nostalgic piece, I think, for me. Like I look back on like former Olympic games that were like in during formative times, and it's such a marker of where you're at every 4 years. Like I remember famously the 2012 Olympics in London. You and I were in our British invasion bag at the time.
Period.
Loving all things One Direction.
I know. And remember Spice Girls reunited to do
yes.
that?
Yes. And that was also when, I have to say, formatively, Tom Daley came into our lives.
He did. That was a moment in culture that I think was a touchstone. Because then he came out a few months later. Or no, like a year later.
A year
later.
He wasn't
gay yet. Well, he was gay, but you know what I mean.
I know. I'll never forget our mutual friend, John, texting us. I think it was like around our birthday. And he said, wake up, Tom Daley's gay.
Oh, that was the best text I've ever received.
Mm-hmm. I know.
A gift to all.
It was lovely. And he, of course, just won. He now has the complete set of gold, silver, and bronze medals, which was amazing.
He's looking better than ever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's such a great role model. It was so funny, like watching the synchronized diving. All the commentators wanted to talk about was Tom.
That was
it. Like, even when everyone else was going.
I know nothing about any of the other divers, but they were obsessed with him. Which
I know about his diving partner, Noah Williams, because he does have an OnlyFans.
Now, I'm going to need you to send that to me later. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I'm obsessed with it. I mean, the women's gymnastics team, unbelievable. Simone Biles, come on.
Legend, Katie Ledecky swimming. It's just so fun. And, you know, I really feel like the online chatter about the Olympics has just been hilarious this year.
I know. It makes me grateful for spaces like Twitter, even though we, or AKA X, even though we shouldn't really be supporting it. It's so funny. People are so funny about everything. Like the pommel horse kid from the US.
Oh, the best.
Steven. Oh my God. I'm obsessed with him.
Who does follow Kamala Harris on Instagram. So we have to continue to stan.
Oh, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I love
Can't
that.
Say that for all of his fellow gymnastics team members, but at least he is, you know, an American hero.
Oh my God. I know. But Dylan, okay. Something else we're obsessed with. Been obsessed for years.
Serious
guest. This is a moment long in the making. I'm so excited.
I know. You know, he's been in so many of our favorite shows. We've gotten to see him on stage so many times.
I thought that
always
too. I was
standout.
Like, I've seen almost all of these Broadway credits at least that he's done, which is kind of crazy. There's one that I missed that we're going to obviously get into, but it was Gigi with Vanessa Hudgens. So
I know.
Amongst other, you know, stars. But
I think we arrived in New York for our annual family vacation like a week or two later.
It's devastating. Devastating, yeah. Devastating, devastating. But Dylan, I'm going to read the intro, bring him in. And we're going to go because there's so much I want to get into. I'm so excited. But y'all, drama listeners, our guest today is one of the most in-demand Broadway boys with 9 main STEM credits to his name and even an Instagram account dedicated to his thighs. Hot off of starring in Crazy for You at Algonquin Playhouse, you'll know him from his recent turns on Broadway as Fred Casely in Chicago, as well as for covering Hugh Jackman in The Music Man. His Broadway credits also include Moulin Rouge, Bandstand, Hello Dolly, Pretty Woman, Something Rotten, Gigi, and On the Town. He's starting West Side Story as Riff at the Signature Theater, Singing in the Rain, also at Algonquin Playhouse, as well as appeared in Anastasia at Hartford Stage and as Don in A Chorus Line at New York City Center. Our guest has slayed on stages across the U.S., such as the Muni, Pittsburgh CLO, the Palisade, and more. He's also appeared on screen in Dear Edward and White Noise. This triple threat will be appearing in the new musical Foul Play with music and lyrics by friend of the pod, Billy Reese, at AMT Theater for 10 performances only from August 8th to the 17th. He's a dog dad, real estate agent, and engaged to double drama friend of the pod, Matt Doyle. Please welcome to drama, Max Clayton.
I'm so excited. I've been waiting for this.
I know every time we have your fiance on the podcast, we're always like, do you think Max would do it? And he always kind of shyly skirts around the I don't think he wants to commit you to anything, you know?
Yeah, no, and we're good like that. It's funny. And we'll talk more about that later, but why don't we do like a combined episode one day?
That would be so
Gosh. Okay. Yes. Now I have to ask you this, and I don't want to put you on the spot. Yeah. Did you ever listen to his episodes of drama? Like, do you listen to his interviews and stuff?
No. You know why though? Because I'm in the other room listening.
Yeah. You hear it already.
So I hear the raw edit.
Wow.
Oh. Well, you know, with Matt, things do get left on the cutting room floor.
I'm sure they do. Actually, I know they do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's so funny.
Oh my gosh. You guys are amazing. We know your whole love story. We'll talk about you guys as a couple later, but this is about you today.
Yeah,
Max.
You're the star.
Oh, thanks for having me. For real, though, you're both so amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Your podcast is great. And yeah, no, I've been so excited about this.
Yay. We like to check in with our guests to get a little, you know, pulse check. Are you well?
I'm doing really well. As you said, I just got home from doing one of the most fulfilling experiences on a stage ever. And I went to Algonquin, Maine to do Crazy for You and play Bobby Child, a role I've always wanted to do. And a show that I've always wanted to be in. And what was so special is that Susan Stroman's team set it. So it was the original staging, choreo, some of William Ivy Long's costumes. And it just felt so special. So I got home from that and now I'm in rehearsals for Foul Play, which I'm super excited about. And I feel good. I feel excited.
Oh, I love that so much. It's been a fun summer for you. I know when I saw your Instagram post about Crazy for You and you wrote that it was like one of the most fulfilling onstage experiences ever. I knew I wanted to talk to you about it. That show is so incredible. It just moves. But I think that's because of Stroman's fingers all over it.
It's truly, in my opinion, I just think she nailed it. Like every number is just so well crafted. It's so interesting, smart, you know, especially for its time. I can't even imagine what it was like to sit down in the theater in the 90s and watch that. It's so cool. So
yeah, it was best musical, I think. If there was one number that you wish the world could see from this production, what number would you want everyone in the world to check out?
Two of my favorites. One is Can't Be Bothered Now, which is the first number Bobby does with all the girls in pink coming out of the limo. I grew up watching the PBS Great Performance Special with Jim Walton, and that kind of changed my life in a way. And so getting to do that was so magical, and the ensemble in the show was at another level. I've worked with incredible people and done incredible shows on Broadway, and the people they so specifically cast in this production were just like on point. So I felt very lucky and spoiled. That and Shall We Dance, which is like a 7-minute pas de deux with Bobby and Polly, and I think one of the best partner sequences in musical theater history, that was like just a dream. A dream.
I'm so happy for you.
Oh my gosh. Who was Polly?
Taylor Aronson.
And then wasn't Sally Struthers in it too?
Yeah, Sally Struthers played my mother and Patricia Fodor. She doubled. God. And she's just a legend. Legend.
When you got Sally Struthers, you got to do that.
Come on.
That's iconic. I actually, in preparing to chat with you, I heard you say in another interview years ago, like pre-COVID, you were like, Crazy for You is a dream. I want to do that.
Wow. That's so crazy. I don't even remember saying that on any sort of podcast, but it's just true. It's just true. So
You said Crazy for You, and you also said Singing in the Rain.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, Agunkwit. Really? They were listening.
Agunkwit. Thank you so much.
Making dreams come true. I love
That's
it.
Wild. That I know. Is really, I actually want to like find that. So you have to, will you send that to me?
Yeah, I will.
That's really cool.
How does it feel to be finally leading shows as a leading man? Because as we mentioned, all these different credits you've done, I mean, we obviously know you as this incredible ensemblist, incredible dancer, the thighs for days, tits out, which the tits are out today, actually. Our listeners can't see, but you're giving, yes, you're giving chest.
Oh my God. People would pay coin to see that.
Wait, aren't people paying coin on your Instagram now?
Yeah. I was going to say, actually, well, you can subscribe for $4.99 a month and maybe you will get a little teat.
Oh my gosh. It's like, maybe. I saw you like squeeze out all the sweat from your costume and was it Crazy for You?
Yeah. It was that intermission at Crazy for You. I jokingly posted that one reel of me doing it because it was insane.
It was crazy.
Like the amount of sweat was gross and it became this joke of you people should be paying for this. This shouldn't be free. Max, what is this doing? Like, you need to be making money. So I jokingly made this subscription and now I'm like, oh, okay, I think this might be here to stay.
So it's more of that. It's a lot of that kind of content.
Yeah, well, I posted me wringing out my undershirt every show.
Oh, fun.
For the subscribers. But now the show's over and I've got lots more content.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Totally. So can you save those as like a little favorite circle on your Instagram? Dylan runs social media accounts for people, so maybe he would know. But
when you have a subscription, usually it's like something
it's automatically stays.
It only appears, yeah, for people who
correct
subscribe. Yeah,
mm-hmm. I'm actually really impressed with this whole subscription section of Instagram. Like the people get 100% of what they make. Like Instagram isn't taking a cut. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
And I have a friend that works with Instagram and Facebook, and basically they were saying, you know, it's to just get people on the platform. Like that's what they care about most. They don't need, you know. I don't think that they need like 10 cents of my
right,
but it would add up.
Good for you,
right? Because I think other subscription-based things does take a cut. Like,
yeah,
I
think so.
We don't need to name them, but you
name them.
That's so interesting.
Exactly. So you're an entrepreneur on Instagram. You're additionally a leading man in these shows, these dream shows. We'll get into the other credits, but how does it feel to be finally this leading man you were born to be, Max?
You know, it's interesting because it just feels right. It feels normal. I don't notice this change or shift in career. To me, it just seems like everything that I had done leading up to the last like 2 years was to prepare me to now lead shows, be the leader of a company. And if I didn't have all of the experiences as an ensemble member, as an understudy, I don't know that I would be capable of doing this. And there are people that move to New York and they just become stars right away and they have to like lead these companies and they're 18, 16, 20. I truly do not know how they do that. And I don't know how later on when they do, you know, 10 years down the line, like I feel like there's such a crazy pressure about that. And I don't know that it's always necessarily a good thing for somebody. My point being, I'm so grateful that I had all of those shows to learn from the incredible leaders that I got to look up to. And Hugh Jackman was a massive, massive person. He basically was like a mentor in that and a masterclass in how to lead a company, not on stage, but off. And that alone, if I can take one thing away from that entire experience, performance stuff aside, it was that. It was how to just lead a company. And I try to bring all of that with me. And it's scary and weird, but it is exciting at the same time. I feel like I'm kind of like passing the torch to others. Speaking of the Olympics.
I know, right? Yeah.
Wait, have you been watching the Olympics at all?
Yeah. So it's funny. I get home at night and Matt has watched it all day and recorded stuff for me. But he's like giving me spoilers. I'm like, Matt, really? You have to tell me who won? I wanted to watch it like it was like live tonight. Anyways, but yes, I am watching it. And when I tell you the Olympics, they move me. Like I am so moved and inspired when the Olympics are on.
It's incredible.
Which events do you most love?
You know, it's not summer, gymnastics and swimming.
I know.
Like I just cannot believe my eyes. And being a performer and being in high stakes environments and being, you know, live theater, when you're filming the Lincoln Center Archival, when you're doing the Good Morning America spot, when you're performing live in the Tonys, like I understand the pressure of it all, but I cannot imagine what it is like to be someone who isn't necessarily like a performative person, doing what you do best, but for the world to see live. And it's like, don't mess up.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. Matt and I talk about this every day.
I know. I get nervous for them.
That there is so probably a lot of performance anxiety.
Seriously. It's like, that's why I love what Simone did last time, because it really does just like slap everyone in the face being like, you literally do not know what you are talking about. You do what I have to do right now and then talk to me. Because all these people behind their phones and computers just coming up with the craziest narratives for people. It's so bothersome.
It's crazy.
It really gets me.
Right. Because they're just performing at the top level. They didn't invite in anything else. Like they're just doing what they love and they're born to do.
And they have
much
one
like
shot.
Actors do.
Yeah. So I do try to like parallel to that. But it's even that. I'm like, Matt, it'd be like you having to like fight for the Tony live, but you don't have the season to do it and voters coming every night and whatever. It's like you have one day. And if one day you freaking flub whatever, that sucks, right?
Right.
And that's what these people are doing. And you're like, oh no, but I rehearsed it so much better yesterday. Or, you know, my practice round was so much better. You know, I just can't imagine.
Yeah. That is such an interesting way to talk about it.
Do you know what I mean?
God, I know.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Totally. Yeah. Cause Simone, I mean, like, I remember last time the Olympics were on, Julia Murney came on and she actually talked about how, I think cause Simone called them the twisties or something like that was happening to her. And Julia was saying that
Yes. She
would sometimes get the twisties before doing Wicked each night and things like that.
So. Yes. When you have a pressure put on you, any opening night performance, you know the show, you know your lines, you know your words and your choreo. But when you have that added pressure of whatever in your mind, you go into the white room, you mess up, you flub, you know what I mean? I'm not flipping in the air, but I understand that feeling of where am I? What am I supposed to be saying? Mm-hmm. So to think that there are just a million people watching you do it. And it's just, I can't imagine. I can't.
I know.
But also the Olympics makes me want to be a parent.
Oh,
because the parents, like, I don't know. I feel their stress. I feel their, it just makes me emotional.
It is so sweet.
I see that for you, Max. I have to say, I do see that.
I don't know.
You.
It's like, it might be too much for me.
I feel like you have like a sensitive soul.
You're already a father with your doggies.
Yeah. And that's the thing. That intro, which was so wonderful. I think that I'm most proud about dog dad part.
Wait, your newest puppy that?
Monty.
Monty. Oh my God. I feel like reply to all of Matt's or your stories and I'm just like, this dog.
Yeah, this dog. He's special. He's super special. I'm so lucky that we have him. We rescued him from Sullivan County, a shelter like 2 hours north of the city. And he's just been the best addition for our little pack at home.
Where'd the name come from?
He actually, it's funny, he had that name at the shelter. His whole litter was there. And Monty was one of Matt's first dogs. And he was a mountain dog, I think a Bernese. And I was like, is that weird for you, Matt? Like I've always heard about Monty, his old family dog. And Matt was like, honestly, I think this is like meant to be. And we kept his name and it's just so perfect for him.
That's cute. And you still got Layla, right?
Yeah. Layla's still here. She's 15 and it's just, you know, super slow, but Monty's been great for her too. Like they keep him young and Layla's been able to sort of train him. And it's so cool how they work. They're like hierarchy in the pack is nuts. Cause Theo, who's our middle dog now, the lab, he is just obsessed with Monty. Like they're just brothers. Yeah.
That's so cute.
So adorable. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, the reason for our little chat today, you know, you're here coming live from the studio in a way.
Live.
Is we got foul play happening.
Yes.
And audiences need to get on and get their tickets at AMT Theater for like 1 week only, basically.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about the show written by friend of the pod, Billy Reese?
Billy. So Foul Play is, first of all, I've never done one of these showcase, I guess, contracts you'd call it before. It's like a 4 week process. We're going to have like a little mini set and some costumes and some light. So it's cool because usually you do readings of new works and then you are behind your binder or on a music stand and producers come and watch you in your street clothes and you just kind of say the text and sing the stuff. But this gives you a chance to kind of have a better visual of what it will be. And it's nice for the creative team to sort of get a live audience reaction. And I think that's what's so nice and cool about this. And the really special thing about Foul Play in particular is that it's primarily an all queer company and creative team. And we were talking about this yesterday, but I mentioned like how nice that is. I can't explain it.
Sure.
But the rehearsal room is so nice. it's just, we are all like free to be the biggest idiots and fools. We are having so much fun. I am laughing my ass off within the show and also just with the people that I get to work with. It's been so fun.
There's a different language with all queer people, you know?
There is a different language, and it just like lifts this thing that I never knew existed in rehearsal rooms until I did this.
Wow.
And I think that that's the best thing I'm going to take away from this whole experience. I'm so fortunate that I get to be a part of this, because it's a show basically that highlights rainbow capitalism and like satirically explores the commercialization of LGBTQIA plus culture, like specifically during, you know, corporate involvement in Pride Month, which we all know. And, you know, it's a comedy, and it is just wild, ridiculous, fun. I don't know. I'm having the best time, and I'm doing things on stage that I've never done and I never ever thought I would do.
Ooh, I love that little tease there. I'm excited. I've got to come see it.
Yeah, come. You have to. Yeah, it'll be fun. It's like 10 performances or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the cast, like you said, is amazing. It's like a lot of familiar faces that people know and love.
Yes, it's just been joy. It's been joy. We finished staging the show yesterday. I think we'll start to run the show today, and we have like a day of tech, and it's fun. It's like, it feels in a sense like doing really fun, interesting shows in college with my friends, and you just get in a room and kind of create and throw things at the wall, see what sticks. You can laugh at yourself, and you can be like, okay, that was horrible, let's just try it again. So that's been really nice. Then it's just different than doing like a show that everyone knows, and you just kind of restage it, and you know, it feels, I get to be creative again, and I think that's been super nice.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to hear it.
I'm so excited for you. I want to go back a little bit, though. Like, we've touched on a couple of these shows you've been in, but we'd like to ask all of our guests about when you figured out that you loved the arts. Maybe you were watching something, participating in something. We borrowed Ring of Keys from Fun Home because maybe like that light switch went off and you just saw it within yourself, like, oh my God, I need to be involved in some way. Do you feel like you can pinpoint it to a Ring of Keys moment?
Yeah. And I talk about this all the time. So people that have listened to me on other things, I'm sorry, but the just like absolute 100% moment, it was being able to watch my sister Missy dance as a kid. I knew I needed to be up there, and I never thought I could be. And I think that alone, and this is just, you know, this is, we live in a different time now, but it just was not the thing in my town in New Hampshire that was possible. Like, I was the athlete. That's just what you did. And I got to watch my sister perform and like light up on stage. And I just wanted to do that. So I would perform with her and her friends and on our family recitals, you know, at home. But I never thought it would be something that I could do for a living. So the second I got the chance, and I kind of like tiptoed my way into, but I was very much like, but I'm not doing this. I'm just going to try, you know. Then I just got the bug and was like, this is it. Like, there's no turning back. I have to do this. It was that, along with, you know, watching the classic golden age movie musicals, MGM movie musicals with my grandfather. That changed my life too. West Side Story. I'm not kidding. This PBS Crazy for You. Like those things where I was just like, I want to do that. I want to try. I want to learn how. And it just excited me.
Aww. Singing in the Rain.
Singing in the Rain, I loved. Singing in the Rain was definitely like the Gene Kelly movie that I was obsessed with.
Yeah.
I liked the others as well, but that was like, come on. I was the idiot, you know, jumping through the sprinklers, doing the number. Anytime it rained outside, I'd be out there doing it like on my curb. I got ba 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 da 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 da. So it's just so special. It's so special.
What was your first, you know, you were performing with the family recitals, but when did you first jump onto the stage? Was it in high school?
Professionally, yes, but I did this production of Sound of Music when I was in second grade, and I played Kurt von Trapp, which was like a perfect age because I was so young to have let anyone like judge me or care. But I got to be up there, and I think I felt like I was kind of good at this. Like, give me more lines, or like do more, because and this is something that I still have like within me, especially when I'm on set. I love being a problem solver, and I love figuring out how to make things work for other people. And that is super awesome to have as an actor on stage in live musical theater and whatever. But on set, on TV, film sets, it's like gold. And I'm not saying I'm gold. I'm saying that like quality or skill to have, the ability to have for continuity alone is like so golden. And I like feed off of that. That's why I'm like so excited about TV, film, and doing anytime I get the chance to be on set, I'm like, yes, I'm there. I got to do the Kiss of the Spider-Woman film recently, and it's just like thrilling to me. It's thrilling. And that was a perfect combination of getting to do big, massive production numbers on a huge Hollywood set.
That's so cool.
Wait, I didn't realize you were part of that.
Yeah, what can you say about your involvement?
I mean, maybe I can't say anything about it.
Have you posted about it online at all?
No, I did, and I got an immediate like, take that down, you're not allowed. So, but I mean, it's like, I'm not, yeah, I don't know. I don't think I can talk about it much, but it's not like I'm a massive part of the film either. I'm in like some numbers, and it was so special because they filmed here and on the East Coast, and so many Broadway performers were involved,
yeah,
and had that opportunity. And so I'm excited to see it for that. It's just going to be all my friends on a big screen.
I hope it goes to theaters.
I'm sure they'll do something awesome. It's going to be really cool. Oh. Like so cool.
I love it. Wait, okay. So were you playing sports all through high school then? And then you just randomly decided to audition for theater schools, or what was that?
Yeah, it was. Well, I really decided to do theater after my junior year of high school. I decided to go to the Carnegie Mellon pre-college program.
Okay.
Because I didn't have training. Like I did professional shows, and I'm using air quotes, like because I was a kid still throughout high school. And that's kind of how I learned, by watching. I'm a visual learner. I've always been that way. I'm like, okay, show me what you want and I'll do it. I didn't have the training. I didn't go to dance class. I didn't compete. So I came from like a different background, but I think that helped me long term. But I didn't know what I was doing and I hated auditioning. So Carnegie Mellon helped me get my audition material together. And then I was able to audition for musical theater programs in college. And I ended up going to CCM and had the best 4 years ever. Kicked my ass. Aww. And I loved it. I loved it. I was so behind. But again, I was kind of like a blank canvas. So teachers were able to just mold me, and not in a negative way, in a way that was only helpful. And I have taken all of those brilliant golden nuggets with me and have them in my toolbox, and I swear I use them every day.
Was it still a cut program at the time that you were?
No, I came right after.
Okay.
But I did have like the OG CCM experience, which was great. I'm so lucky. I feel so lucky that I had that.
I love. Wait, yeah. How old are you? If I can ask on a live podcast.
I'm 32.
I'm
32. Okay. I graduated in 2014 from CCM.
Okay. Nice.
My birthday is September.
September, beginning or end?
19th.
Oh, so you are still a Virgo.
I am.
We're Virgos too. Okay. We're August Virgos though. August 30th.
Oh, cool. Okay, so we're on the opposite.
We were in Ohio at the same time because, well, we're from Cleveland. Dylan lives in Columbus now, but we went to school in Columbus at Ohio State, and we actually went to see some shows at CCM, but I feel like it was probably after you were gone because we finished in 2016.
What did you see?
We saw
Carousel. Happened, I think, fall 2015.
I was gone, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But also, I love Cleveland.
Oh, it's great.
I filmed White Noise, that Netflix movie with Noah Baumbach. I was there like 6 months.
Oh my God.
Living at like the Hilton in downtown Cleveland. I had the best time.
Oh, it's great.
It's really artsy. It's right on the water.
I had the best. I was at the water every night. Watching that sunset, the most beautiful sunsets. This is weird to say, but I've said this many times. I've been to Hawaii. I've been to gorgeous places with the most beautiful. That sunset literally was, I don't know why. It was freaking the Lion King every day, but the opposite way.
I'm obsessed with that.
It was, I swear, I would be like telling cast members, you have to come watch the sunset with me. And I grew up on the water, and I grew up with like going up to watch the sunrise in the East Coast. But I'm telling you, that sunset hits different.
Oh my gosh, you're an ambassador for Cleveland at this point. I love it. It's a big theater scene in Cleveland too. Were there a lot of theater people in White Noise with you?
No, there were maybe four that did a sequence at the end of the film. But I was there when the Jersey Boys production that was filmed with like one of the Jonas Brothers, and they were there as well I forgot what the theater's called,
at the Palace or
Playhouse Square.
Yeah, and so there were a lot of theater people there because it was still during the pandemic. It was 2021.
Okay.
Yeah, we talked about that with CJ Polakowski. I don't know if you know him at all, but he was
there. Yeah, he was there the same time.
Yeah, and one of the Jonas Brothers, I think it was Nick.
It was Nick. And Andy Carl was in it, and
Yep.
someone else. Oh, Michael Urie was in it. Anyway, we don't have to go through the Jonas
Oh.
cast, but I know. Yeah, he played Bob Crewe, who's like their first like gay. He's like the gay character in Jersey Boys, who like helps
Fun.
them, with their record deal. But wait, Max, so did you come out in college or were you out in high school?
I came out at that Carnegie Mellon pre-college program
You did. Wait.
after my junior year, and this
Spill.
was really, really just for my close friends.
Yeah.
I was kind of, actually, the best part is that in high school at home in New Hampshire, I was like seeing this girl and my dear friend Danielle, and we were together, and we both went to Carnegie Mellon together.
Oh my
Okay.
God.
And I felt things for Johnny.
It's always
Always a
Johnny.
Johnny.
Oh my God, it's always John and
Johnny
Johnny.
Stein, shout out to you.
Oh.
No, but I felt things, and we just had the best time, and I was able to be away from home for the first time in my life. I had never done an overnight camp in my life. I was like, oh, I'm an adult, and I can make my own decisions, and I can, no one knows me. I don't have the pressure of being, my mom was very involved in my the school district that I grew up in, and I just felt this weird pressure as someone that knew I knew I was gay, of course, but I didn't want to come out. And so I was able to just be me and not have any judgment. And I told Danielle at pre-college. I sat her down in the cafeteria, we had lunch, and I was like, I have feelings for Johnny. And that kind of just like shook it all off. And then from that point on, I was able to tell my close friends in school for my senior year of high school. But it wasn't until college where I was able to just have a new start. And that was so refreshing to go to a school and be in such an awesome program with really cool people from all over the country and just be able to truly be me for the first time and decide, actually, I don't want to have that characteristic that I've been putting on for the last 18 years. I do want to have this. I got to like pick and choose who I actually wanted to be because of who I actually was for the first time.
I love that so much.
Invaluable.
But I
Yeah.
need to know, did you ever tell Johnny? Did you kiss him?
Oh yeah. Okay, good. Got
He
it.
was gay too. He was like, okay.
And Danielle was okay.
I mean,
Okay,
I
good.
love
Okay,
Dan.
gotta check in on our
No,
girls.
I Danielle's more than okay. She's married
Okay, good.
and so happy. She's the best.
Oh, thank goodness. Okay,
Yeah.
happy ending
That's so
there. Okay,
cute.
good. Okay, and Max, and then you burst onto the Broadway scene. You did On the Town. You have, like we mentioned, there's been so many different credits. Connor mentioned Gigi, though, or
Gigi.
Gigi. I don't know how you want to.
Gigi.
Which is the name of our family dog,
Oh, I
unrelated.
love that
It's
name.
good.
Oh, it's just great. Well, at the time, we were like, we wanted something that had like a theatery thing. So, like the
Yes,
music. And then
perfect.
also, Gigi Good was just on Drag Race. So, there was like a
Oh, of
lot of different
course.
connections there. But what was that experience like?
Oh, I mean, it was, I probably in hindsight looked like an idiot the whole process because I was just beside myself, like in heaven. Actually, I really was in heaven. And it's so funny you mentioned that because I was looking at my emails from my old agents, and one of my first appointments I ever got after I showcased from CCM in New York and signed with them was my audition for Gigi for the Kennedy Center. Because it wasn't for Broadway. We're going to the Kennedy Center for Out of Town. I'll never forget the moment our amazing producer, Jenna Siegel, and Jenna like has changed my life in so many ways since Gigi, which we could talk about. But Jenna announced to the cast we were going to Broadway. I mean, I was like, okay, I can retire. After this, I'm done. When I moved to New York, I gave myself 5 years. I was like, I just want to give myself 5 years to get on Broadway. And she kind of just checked that off month three. So I was like, good to go. And it was one of my favorite experiences because of the people always. The people for me are everything. And Vanessa Hudgens was just iconic. Like the whole time, just the best. She was just as excited about this process and to be on Broadway and to make her debut as all of us were. And I had the best time and I made some lifelong best friends.
I love that so
It was
much.
also gorgeous. Like when I tell you gorgeous, that show, anytime I bring it up to people, they were like, man, Gigi was stunning.
Huh.
And it was.
It was a real set, right?
Oh, it was. Yes.
We don't see a lot of those anymore.
No, and man, when I produce shows, Derek McLean will be the man I call.
Oh,
He
yeah.
knows how to
Maybe
make
Moulin
a damn
Rouge.
set. Yes, Moulin Rouge. I walked into the Emerson Colonial out of town in Boston, and I was just like, are you kidding me? Like, no, really, are you kidding me?
Isn't there a video of the cast walking in and seeing it for
Yeah,
the first time?
I
Yeah.
think so. They videoed all of us.
Because much like this is a Vanessa Hudgens stan podcast, it's also an Aaron Tveit stan podcast. So you better believe Connor and I drove out to Boston. We were both living in Harlem at the time. How did we drive out there, Connor?
I don't remember.
I don't even know. And we saw Moulin Rouge in Boston, and it was absolutely life-changing. But going back to Gigi real quick, Vanessa Hudgens. Now she's like a true like theater girl. I mean, she's done so many movie musicals, and we got to see her in The Heights and whatnot. Have you guys maintained a friendship beyond that production?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. I just went to her wedding,
Oh
in
my God.
Tulum, and it was the most beautiful wedding I'll probably ever go to in my life. It was just magical because she is magical. And I say this to everybody, like she has something. She is so kind. She is so lovely and just happy. She wants happiness for everybody and she brings happiness to everyone. And it's like, it's a gift, and you don't see that all the time. I feel so lucky. I feel so lucky to have her as my friend, and I love her.
Oh, we love her too. You know, she's our foremost Jonathan Larson interpreter on stage and screen that we
That's
have, you know,
wild.
having
That's
done Tick Tick
wild.
Boom, Rent Live,
Yep.
Rent at the Hollywood Bowl. I'm sure there was another one I'm thinking of, but she's so great. Were you a High School Musical fan?
Yeah, and that's it was it what's really weird is I was Troy Bolton.
Sounds like, yeah.
Yeah, and actually Vanessa and I have done like videos together as Gabriella and Troy because that was literally my story was Troy Bolton's story, and the movies came out when they were a certain age and they graduated when I was graduating. Like the parallels are nuts. We don't have to get into that, but
Yeah.
yes, and I told her that. I was like, Vanessa, you don't understand. I hate to sound this way, but like that is my story. And she was like, tell me about it. And I did, and she was like, shut up. She's like, so there are many a video online that you can look up that are us talking about that specific thing. But yeah, I played Troy Bolton a trillion times.
I'm sure. Well, you worked with a lot of divas in a lot of the different
I
shows you've been
love
in.
divas. Oh
One of the
yeah.
divas I do want to talk about is Robin Herter, who we absolutely love. She's also another double drama friend of the pod, just like Matt, one of the few.
I love her, man.
We are obsessed with
Yeah.
her. And I know y'all started your love affair in Moulin Rouge, but what was it like then doing Chicago together?
Like so stupid. Because Chicago was a show we always talked about doing together when we met. We were like, okay, what other things can we do? Because we have to always work together because
Yeah.
there's no one else. And we brought that up a million times. And so when I got my audition for Chicago, I was like, it's hilarious. I know you're not there right now, but like, I think I'm going to go do Fred Casely for a bit. And then, you know, the universe, we just make things happen. And
It's crazy.
it was amazing because I had been there for a couple of months. So I had my like foot in the door and was able to kind of be okay. Because if I had walked into the door and Robin was Velma, like, I don't know that anything good would have happened. Like, I probably would have been fired just because I would have been like too distracted and like not right at all.
Oh my God. I saw
But it
you.
was so fun.
You were so good as Fred Casely.
Oh, thank you.
So
Thank
good.
you.
I saw you during, it might have been Ariana's first or second week. Ariana Madix, for those listening.
Love.
Oh my God.
Obsessed.
You love her?
I just posted it again. I'm like, because she's back. She started August 1st.
Oh,
And
oh my God.
I, yeah. Sorry, continue.
Oh no, love her. I mean, obsessed. I mean, she's been in my life for probably close to a decade now. So it was crazy to see her on, and by that I mean, you know, as my friend on screen, crazy to see her on stage, and she ate. She was amazing. I was like
She
really
is
impressed by
a
her talent.
natural. She's a
Yeah.
natural. I'm telling you. And again, we can talk about the greats and the divas. There's like one little jewel that all of these people have in common, and it's that they listen. And Ariana Madix listens. Like on stage, she does it different every night. She does her scene work. She's a listener and a reactor. Things teachers are like begging students to do all around the world. Acting is reacting. Ariana freaking reacts. It's so cool. I sat in my chair and watched her day one, and I was like, damn, you can't teach that.
Wow, that's really cool to hear. Because I think,
Sorry, I'm passionate about her. I love her.
well, a lot of people have like their opinions on like stunt celebrity casting and whatnot, and so that's really
Sure.
great to hear and know, you know?
It's true. And I'm like, and to that, I always say, yes, but there are so many great things that come from that.
Oh, yeah.
It's a brilliant business model when it's used in the right way.
Yeah.
And I think, why not? That's how Chicago is
Yeah.
still open. Totally. How cool.
Yeah.
Why like crap on that? You know what I mean? Like, what is that doing to you? It's been open 27 years because they bring in exciting people that bring really random people from all across the world to see this show. I think that's so cool.
Oh, yeah.
It might be their first Broadway show they're seeing, and then they want to see another one. You know, it's like that really cool effect. So I can't poo-poo
Yes,
it.
yes. And again, I have a lot to say about that in general, but for this that specific show, I just think it's so cool.
Oh, absolutely. Now, another celebrity casting. You touched upon Hugh Jackman, which obviously I don't even view him as celebrity casting. He is Tony winner. You know,
Yeah,
he's a song and dance
exactly.
man through and through. Working with him and Sutton, because I know that it was like a big secret you were cast and had to hold that in for a long time, right? Like it was like months and months in advance.
It was like probably over a year
Oh my
because
God.
I was in Moulin Rouge on Broadway doing the developmental workshop of The Music Man with Sutton, because Hugh, I think, was filming overseas, and they needed someone to stand in to be just like a stand-in for him, a prototype basically, with Sutton to then teach to him later on. So I just went in as a body, and I had worked with the same creative team during Hello, Dolly, and that was 2020,
Yeah.
maybe
Okay.
2019,
Yes. Pre-COVID?
2020, pre-COVID. And then I finally got the offer, which wasn't announced, and then COVID happened. We were supposed to open that August. We didn't
Right.
open a year later, so like it ended up being forever. But what was really the only thing that stunk about that was I never got my last show at Moulin
Oh,
Rouge,
right.
which was like a really special experience for me. So that was the only bummer. But hey, not a bad problem to have. I
Yeah.
realized
Oh,
that.
I know.
Totally.
And then were you like, was there pre-scheduled dates?
There were no scheduled dates. It was one of those jobs where I'm like, I'm doing this job, but it's going to be a very like selfless job. And I knew that, and I didn't care, and I needed that. But I also was like, I probably won't ever go on, because when he did Boy from Oz, and when he was out, they would cancel the show. And I had been like told that a bunch. So I was ready for that because I get it.
Sure.
I get it. People are paying $700+ flying from Australia to see you know what I mean? I
Yeah.
understand. I was at a place where I understood, and I was okay. I was like, that's not why I'm doing this. I'm going to do this to learn, to absorb it all, how cool, and then move on. Well, the first time he had COVID was in December, and he texted me this like the sweetest message and was just like, Maxie, I'm out. It's a voicemail. I think I still have it. I definitely still have it. And he's telling me, and it ends with like, and I tested positive, and you're on. And I was like, oh my God, my stomach dropped. And I went into the bathroom to submit my COVID test, and I was positive.
No.
So I immediately to let the producers know. And then we canceled the show for like, I think, I forget how many days the show was out. Cause it was like, he was out, I was out.
Yeah.
Fast forward the day after the Tony Awards, when Matt had just won, he was out again with COVID. And the producers called me and were like, where are you? And I had just stayed up all night celebrating Matt. Went home to celebrate my mom's retirement. And I was like, I'm in New Hampshire. She's like, get here immediately. You're on for the next 10 shows, next 10 days. And we're doing a press release in an hour. And I was like, all right, here we go. Like, this is the moment where all of the training, all of the work, all of the hours, all of the shows are going to kind of like make or break me is the pressure I put on myself. But it ended up being a life-changing week. And I only could have done it with Hugh Jackman and with Sutton Foster. Like the two people that would in my mind as a kid be the ones that would like scare me the most and make me the most nervous. They were the ones that lifted me up and carried me through. And like that, just saying that those words is so insane.
It is so
I mean, it's
insane.
crazy. It is crazy.
Like,
That's so cool.
if I could share the texts and the calls from Hugh, it's just not normal. The fact that in the rehearsal room, we would be learning a number. Hugh Jackman would be the man it's being set on. And he would be like, Maxie, you jump in and I want to watch.
Wow.
That is not normal. For an understudy or a standby, they will all be kicking and screaming that with agreement, there is not one person that I can name, especially not one diva or one Broadway star, Tony, multi-Tony award, whatever, you name it, that would ever ask their cover to go in front of the cast during rehearsals to perform whatever they've just learned so that they can learn from them. Not one. And if there are others, please let me know, because I want to like hug them. It was so insane. Mm.
That gives me goosebumps. That's really, really special.
Yeah. And like Sutton and I had created four of the big production numbers together.
Okay.
So I had that. And then we taught Hugh during the pandemic. But a lot of numbers, like, they were set on him. And those were the ones where he was like, I want to watch that because I want to look like that. Mm, and yeah. That's just so, so cool.
Oh, absolutely surreal.
And then I get to go watch him be like Wolverine in the theater and just like, oh, that's my friend. Mm-hmm. It's just, now, he's the best.
Did you see Deadpool and Wolverine?
I haven't seen it yet because it just came out. I'm so excited. It nailed it in the box office, though.
It did. He's my favorite part about the movie. He's so amazing. Oh,
mm-hmm. Oh good.
He's always the best, though.
Oh my god. You know? I feel like people are like very into him again right now because of it, and they're sharing all these pics of him from like 20 years ago, like when he first was.
Man,
I mean, he's still obviously so hot, but oh my god,
I know.
Stud for life.
Damn.
For sure.
Screw him.
For sure.
I know. I know.
He's like living his best life, though. I mean, I feel like he's having fun right now. I mean, God love Debra, his ex-wife, but I feel like he's really out there doing the thing. There's the pictures of him with the martinis. Everyone's obsessed.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I love him. I love him. He's,
oh my god,
he's so,
love him.
So amazing.
Wait, so, you know, you got Foul Play now, and I know you're not supposed to ask actors what they're doing next, but do you have anything else in the works that you're looking forward to or any dreams that you're hoping come into your life in this next year or so?
No, the short answer is no, I don't. I'm sort of like making some changes within my like team, and I'm ready to like just level up, and I don't know what that means, and I don't know what is next, and that's okay. For the first time, I feel like I'm excited by that. You know, the way this business works is one day you're like, oh my God, I'll never work again. And the next day you have the coolest opportunity in front of you. So
yeah,
I've been through that enough that I can trust that. So I'm able to wake up and be like, maybe something cool will happen today or maybe not. But I'm making changes and like excited.
What about a wedding?
So the wedding, we're definitely going to have a wedding. Uh-huh. We don't have a plan yet. We're like waiting for Matt, you know, the Sinatra of it all to figure out their schedule. And it's a waiting game and you just don't know. And so
fair enough.
Once we have the reason being, like, we would set a date and then that would be the opening of Sinatra.
Well, yeah.
So maybe we should set a date then. Yeah.
Well, Sinatra better wait till 2025 because it's getting too crazy. This next season is just getting too crazy. So
yeah. Well, is it? I don't even know. Like,
oh my God, Mac.
Is it going to be crazier than this?
I think it is.
It is? Weren't there like 18 shows that opened?
Yeah, it's looking like it. I feel like every day there's another announcement.
This is going to be really, you need to text me because I'm out.
I'll get you a list. But listen, next show for you, Broadway show, is number 10. So it's got to be a special one.
10's my favorite number. So it will be a special one. It will be a special one. And there are like just career decisions that I have to make now. I just want to do something that I really love.
Yeah.
And I'm excited by that. And I don't know what that is.
Could be original. You've done a lot of incredible revivals. I mean, whatever. I don't think you're going to have any trouble.
We'll see.
I'm excited for you. I feel like turning 33, isn't that like the end of your Saturn returning? Not to get like astrological.
It's your Jesus year.
Work.
Oh my God. I'm obsessed with that. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, we're about to say goodbye. Before we wrap, we always end with a dose of drama. Drama could be anything. It could be the theater you're watching or participating in, the pop culture you're partaking in, you know, anything life related. And I just want to say one quick thing. I returned to see The Notebook on Broadway last night. Love. I still feel like it was robbed of some Tony love, but something crazy happened, which I've never seen this happen in this way on a Broadway stage before. You know, the show is going on. It's great. We get to Joy Wood singing My Days, which of course is the, as I think she even said, the espresso of the season. You know, it's the one. People are going to the show to see her sing My Days. The set malfunctioned in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. And I heard it, you know, the thing that's supposed to rise up, it just like it fell, like it there was a clunk and it stopped.
Oof.
She's walking across the stage, she's about to do truly the final like 30 seconds of the song, and all of a sudden someone comes over the god mic and is like, no. I'm so sorry, due to a technical difficulty we have to stop the show.
No.
Joy made the funniest face and she like strutted off stage. We waited for maybe 15 or so minutes And I texted someone who works on the show who was backstage, and they were like, we don't know what's going to happen. They lost power in part of the set. So we waited, we waited, we waited. The lights changed. Then they made an announcement. They were like, we're going to finish the show concert style, which I had a feeling they were going to do.
Yeah.
But I wasn't sure. And it's truly, it's like My Days happens, and then it's like the end of the show. If you know what
I mean?
Did
they make her do My Days again?
She came out and did it again.
Yes.
She did it twice, which I don't know how happy she was. But y'all, she came back with a vengeance. Good. And she blew the roof off. It was
There's nobody like Joy Woods. I've been her fan since we did the Sun Like It Hot Lab, and she had just graduated AMDA. And I was like, who the are you? And you are going to be a star.
Oh, sorry. My God. You and Matt both were on the ground floor with her, because last time he did our show, he was like, everyone needs to keep their eye on Joy Woods. We did Little Shop together.
She is not right. She's so incredible.
Well,
that's cool, Connor.
I need to say, yeah, it was a crazy moment. Our parents were there, so it was like so funny to see them. Like, they were like, we're going to be talking about this forever.
Yeah.
And everybody needs to go see The Notebook while they still can. I mean, the score is beyond.
Yes.
Dylan, do you have a dose of drama?
Well, we didn't really get to talk about Hello Dolly. And I just wanted to ask Max.
Yeah.
When you were in that show, because you worked with three iconic dollies, mm-hmm. were there ever any rumors about anyone else coming in to play Dolly? Or like, did you as a cast, like all backstage, be like, hee, 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 do we want Kristen Chenoweth or Audra to do it? Was there ever anything like that that happened?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much of it was true, but there were definitely within the cast, like rumors for yeah. sure. And I think the biggest one was Whoopi.
Oh.
Yeah. It was
I would have gone back for the fourth time.
Yeah,
to see that,
it was Whoopi, and I don't know if that was true at all, but that was the one that kept circling Whoopi, and then there was one Dolly Parton.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, which I think those that feels
two,
inevitable.
Those
right?
two were always spiraling, like circling mm-hmm. the company, and I don't know. Again, I truly don't know if they were real at all, but that those were the rumored names.
Wow,
and I think both of them would be so cool.
So cool.
That's a show. Like, I understand, like, it was a vanity piece and it didn't need to continue. Like, they could have, mm-hmm. of course, but having just those three just iconic Broadway stars do it was like enough. It like wrapped in a bow and then goodbye, you know what I mean? So
totally,
what a flex, honestly.
Yeah.
Huge.
I mean, that show was, I always say it was Broadway.
Yeah.
You know, when you went to see that, and that was just epic.
It'd be like it'd be like them replacing Hugh and Sutton. Like, they could have, of course.
There were rumors.
Done that. There were rumors. And I think it was just it was like a show that was meant for them to do. So why? There's no need. There's no need.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Max, do you have a dose of drama to send us home with?
Well, something that I was gonna point out is that Matt and I always keep our careers very separate, and for the first time we're gonna do a little concert together with the New York Pops. Yeah, we're doing their New York Pops Underground series, a fundraiser for the Pops Ed program. All the proceeds will be given to them, and it's an incredible night, and it'll be at 54 Below on October 7th, I believe.
How fun.
And it's the first time we've ever done a cabaret or anything together.
So some duets.
So we'll be doing some duets. We'll be doing some songs from shows we've done separately. And it's with the New York Pops and Steve Reinecke, Maestro Steve, who's just the best. Like, it'll just be a really fun, exciting night. Oh. So that's kind of our, it'll be special. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to be like on stage with him. Be like, wait, are we on the couch or like in a fancy gala right now?
I know, that's so crazy.
Who will be more motivated to rehearse? Like, you know, when it's the two of
I will
you,
be.
Like,
because Matt does that stuff in his sleep. He's like, a concert, all right, whatever. Like, these are the songs I'm going to do. He has his people. He, you know, me, I'm going to be like, okay, so how are we going to transition from this song into this song? And like, I'm going to need the banter to be organized.
Uh-huh.
I'm a Virgo.
You get it.
Well,
we completely understand.
We get it. And I'll be like, can we rehearse this? He's like, no, we'll just figure it out. It's okay. It's all good. I'm like, okay, I love that you have the faith, because I don't.
Yeah.
Oh my God. He's got to go.
Oh, how fun. Well, this has been such a blast, Max. It gone beyond my wildest dreams of how natural and wonderful.
Thanks you so much for having me.
Oh my God.
For real.
The pleasure was ours. Seriously. And everyone's got to check out Foul Play. It's only 10 performances. We'll include all the link information below. And then you're just at Max M. Clayton everywhere, right?
Yes.
Of course, people can also then subscribe if they want to see that exclusive content or the archival Vanessa Hudgens High School Musical footage.
Correct.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you so much, Max. This was awesome. It was a dream. It was a dream.
Thank you, Dylan and Connor. I appreciate it.
And then while everyone's following Max, they got to follow us. We're at The Drama Podcast. Connor's at Connor McDowell. I'm at Dylan McDowell. And Connor, I will see you next time. Drama!
Bye.